It is disgusting out there. It's disgusting. And I blame Canada. I'm sorry. I am not accepting some of the nonsense that we're hearing out of Canadian politicians, out of environmental journalists, that we just have to get used to it. Come on. Welcome to Drive Time. It's Jason. It is the weekend. It is Friday. You're headed up north. I was up north this morning on Gull Lake, sitting on the beach, and it smelled like there was a campfire. The haze was thick. And this is not what Minnesota's summer should feel like. And I think this is the year 2025. Controversial take. It's 2025. Just saying, too bad, this is nature doing its thing, to me, not good enough. 651-461-9226. How has the smoke affected your summer? And this is not new this year, but it is new, I think, for our lifetime, for my 20-plus years living here. Are we just going to sit back and say, like, well, I guess this is the deal. Canada can do whatever Canada wants to do. And the jet stream's going to send that smoke right down your throat. Too bad. Seems to me there is more that can be done here. I will say that these Canadian wildfires have absolutely changed the way that I enjoy summer. I find myself taking a lot fewer bike rides than I have done in the past, because it's just, it gets in your lungs and your, ugh.
I've got an idea.
All right. Wonderful.
Just hear me out.
I just need ideas. Right, I think this morning I'm reading in Axios, this Canadian journalist saying, well, you got to get used to smoke, got to get used to fires. Do we? Do we have to get used to this?
What if? And okay. just hear me. I'm just spitballing on this.
I like it.
What if there was some sort of economic lever we could pull that would put pressure on the Canadian government to do what we want them to do?
Hey.
How about that for an idea?
I'm intrigued.
I'm not sure it can be done.
What are you thinking? Like,
I don't know, maybe
some sort of tax?
Some sort of surcharge on their exports into this country that would, you know, cost them more money and disadvantage their economy in such a way that they would say, hey, you know what? Maybe we'll do a little preemptive burning and do some other forest management stuff. What do you think?
I mean,
I'm throwing it out there.
I would say I've never heard anybody float like a tariff, for example.
There's the word. Yeah.
Yeah, Benjamin on YouTube saying,
see? He agrees with me.
We need to put a tariff on the smoke. I am not a forest management expert. I just want that on the record. I know a lot of people think I have a lot of expertise in many different areas.
You are a lawn influencer, which is a lot closer to a forestry expert than most
of us.
It's true.
Benjamin also suggested someone tell Canada that water can be used to extinguish fire.
What?
So the Canadian wildfires, you know, fire is not all bad, right? We know that part of the way that our ecology creates room for new life, for new activity, is by clearing out the old. You know, the wildfire technique is, it's something that I have suggested, really, in America.
I knew you were going to go there.
Isn't that what they said? Was it Michelle Bachmann was going to be? That's what she was.
The death panel?
The death panel. Was that her?
I think so.
That's a long time ago. So in nature, like, a wildfire is a natural thing. You don't want to make it where there are no wildfires. But here in America, we have been much more aggressive in experimenting with controlled burns. In controlled burns, it's not a new phenomenon. Native Americans were doing controlled burns on this land long before we all came here and took over. So the idea of managing your forest to try to improve air quality, to improve safety, to have a alive and growing forest is not a new idea. Canada has a lot of this is on public land in Canada, which they say is part of the challenge and part of the problem here. Now, to me, it makes it seem like that should make it easier.
Well,
it's your land.
Caller also pointed out that a lot of that area is remote, too.
It is very remote.
And just areas that are difficult to get to.
Most of the fire is Saskatchewan. And we'll hear from Chris Schaefer, who talks a little bit about that in the lead, D Rush Hour News headline at 5 o'clock. So Chris and I talked quite a bit about this today. And the reality is it is very remote. It is not like the wildfire. You know, I mean, where do we get wildfires in Minnesota? You get them in northern Minnesota.
Yeah, boundary waters.
Boundary waters. And it is difficult, as we've seen here, it's difficult to fight those fires. I get it. So I'm not expecting Canada to go and, you know, start, you know, get the Mounties to be passing the bucket of water to try to put this out.
Yeah, I mean, difficult, but not impossible.
That's all I'm saying. Paul in Coon Rapids texting in and saying, I've lived in Minnesota all my life. The smoke was never a problem until the last 4 years. It's time to put a stop to this. 500% tariffs on Canada should work. I mean, I do think they would take some action. Jason, we need to talk about all the dead trees that are around the Twin Cities. They need to get cut down before somebody gets hurt by a tree falling on them. I do think, like, when you think of the urban forestry, you do have different sorts of concerns, right? And that is a different type of safety concern, for sure. Some days are bad. There's no reason that they can't open some of these areas up to timber company. That's interesting, actually, right? We've overcut areas years ago, but the texter says we should have no problem thinning out these areas in 2025. I do think all I'm saying, and I'm not prescribing the solution, I am saying, one, it's not unreasonable to blame Canada and to ask questions because it is affecting us. So while it was funny to have the Minnesota elected officials, the Republicans, sending, you know, a letter to Canada saying, get your act together. Maybe we were too harsh on those elected officials, and maybe Canada does need to do more about this. I think they do. Texter, I'm a nidiot, says there should be a presidential order to redirect that smoke from Canada back into Canada. That feedback from I'm a nidiot. Jared Savage is on the line. Jerry, thanks for listening. What do you think should happen here? Are you with me? Do you blame Canada for this?
Absolutely. Surefire way to make it stop. Tell them they have to claim all the carbon demerits for all of the smoke that they're putting into the atmosphere.
Oh.
It's not going through a smog scrubber or nothing. They've got to be, like, taking decades off of Mother Earth.
Yeah, it is interesting. You think about that. And there is, look, I'm under no delusion that you can just shut down wildfires, right? But it feels like there should be more of a coordinated effort by Canada to deal with this because it is, I mean, isn't this affecting the way you enjoy summer?
Generally speaking.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean you're still going to go out. You know, for people with asthma or people with sensitivities, it's probably much worse than you or me, but it's irritating. I just don't like it. I don't like it.
That's all that matters. That's all that matters, Jason. You're irritated.
That's right. That Jerry, you get it. Thanks, Jerry. I appreciate it. Finally, somebody who honors what the spirit of this show is about. I'm irritated, so you get to listen to it. Drive Time coming back with more reaction from you. We're blaming Canada here on this Friday on CCO. I love Canada. I love you guys. We appreciate our Canadian listeners on the Odyssey app, live on YouTube, the WCCO Radio YouTube channel on X at Darusha J, and on the WCCO Radio Facebook account. Welcome to the Blame Canada half hour, though. Canada, we love you. We love your syrup. We love your tourism. We want you to come down here to Minnesota. And frankly, I'd like you to take a big gulp of the smoke that you're shoving right down our throats. Why don't you come down here, ride what's the dog, the Mountie?
Oh, the St. Bernards?
The St. Bernards, yes. Right.
I thought you were going for moose or something.
Moose, yeah, that would work. That would work. Varied responses to my frustration about the wildfire, ranging from the interesting, the sublime, to the angry. Should we start at the angry? That's probably the most entertaining.
Think that would be the most entertaining? Yes.
From 320, Jason, shut up. You know they can't just stop the smoke. You're trying to be funny, but you sound like a clown. You used to be entertaining. Now you are annoying. They should give Adam Carter your time slot. Yeah. Maybe. Maybe they should.
I mean, if they think you're annoying.
Hey, please.
Carter?
Have you guys heard Carter lately?
Please.
At least I'm laughing while I'm making fun of this situation here. Look, it is a real issue, though, don't you think? Do you guys just think, and maybe for you this is just annoying, but just within the last minute, I got an email from the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, and I'd like to take a moment because I think a lot of people like to take their cheap shots at government employees, but I emailed the MPCA, what, Dan, at like 2:45?
I think it was about then, yeah.
And I thought, I'm like, they're never going to get this data to me. I'm a fool.
You said, you sent the email and turned to me and went 2:45 on a Friday, what's the odds? And I said, why are you underestimating our state employees?
You did. Yeah, you did. You said they've got cell phones.
They got cell phones that get email. They can do it, the job.
So Hannah Sobrowski, a moment, a CCO salute.
Way to go, Hannah.
To communications
nice
specialist.
Job. I believed in you.
Hannah Sobrowski, who sent me the air quality index alert days. Alerts issued and alert days dating back to 2020. So in the Twin Cities. 2020, we only have one. 2021, 16 alert days. 2022, nothing. What did Canada do in 2022? Was it rigged? Was there an election? Was it part of sort of Canadian, I don't know.
You should look at the machines at least.
I'm just asking. 2023 was the summer smoke. You remember that one.
Oh, yeah.
27 alert days in the Twin Cities.
I remember a day in 2023, I walked out of the building here to leave work, and I thought like a building had collapsed in downtown. There was so much dust and dirt and grime. Like you could, like your teeth would be grinding together. You could feel like sand. It was just grotesque.
And then this year we've had 15 alert days already just through today. Now statewide, 2021, we had 42 alert days. 23 was 53 alert days, and we're already up to 28 alert days. So it's not just in your head. There are weather patterns that affect this, right? There are some years that we have nothing. But I do not think it's just our imagination that we're more keyed into this.
Well, and there's shifting too going on, right? Because we saw data from back in the early 2000s where most of the air quality alerts, there were years where it spiked there, not as much as it's doing now, but there were a number where the data had spiked, but it was all ozone related.
Mm.
And now it's flipped where it's all wildfire smoke that's blowing down from Canada. So there's been a shift over time, and that's precisely what climate change would predict, wouldn't it?
A 507 texter says that this smoke is filtering the sun, so the farmers are struggling to dry hay for livestock, and crop development is affected as well because of this smoke. Another texter, do you think any of the people that live in Canada are doing this? I've got it worse off because they're right there. They're not enjoying this. I don't blame the individuals for starting the fires. Most of these fires are very remote areas. What I'm asking is, Canada has said that they basically do not manage their forests, that they let nature do its thing. Most of Canada is remote. 90% of Canada's population lives within, like, what? Is it 100 miles of the American border? If you ever look at a map of Canada, you're like, oh.
By population, yeah.
By everybody lives near the border. So most of these fires are happening in areas that are very, very distant and very remote. So it would be very expensive to manage it. I get that.
But as you point out, it is the leadership of the Canadian government that's saying, yeah, sorry, we're not going to do anything.
We're not doing it.
And that leadership is elected by whom? The Canadian people. So you could say this does rest on the shoulders of the Canadian people.
They could decide to do something about it. Jason, I was in Denali 3 weeks ago, and the smoke was like nothing we've ever seen in the Twin Cities. Oh, I imagine that. Let's go to Jeff in Sauk Rapids. Jeff, what's the air like in Sauk Rapids today?
Oh, not good.
Yeah.
I had my dogs out at 6:30 this morning, and it wasn't smoky. It didn't smell like smoke, but it was far from fresh. I don't know what it smelled like, but it stunk. It was just crappy air.
Yeah.
Certainly not the fresh 6:30 in the morning air you'd normally expect. You know?
Right.
You know? But we've got options, I think. First one that came to mind was send Marjorie Taylor Greene up here and just have her blow it right back at him.
That's pretty good. That's a good idea.
Yeah. The other thing is, you know, those smoke.
The hot air, the hot air mixing with the smoke of
I think. Yeah. She could turn the jet streamer on.
I like that.
You know those smoke pots they use in Florida to keep the oranges from freezing?
Right.
We'll line the Alaska border with smoke pots,
yeah.
Light them up, and we'll get even with them.
Jeff, I think you're onto something there. I appreciate the call. I think that's the move. That's the move. We got to send it back. I don't know. All I'm saying is that just accepting this and saying, like, learn to live with it, I feel like we can do better than that. We can do better than that. I don't have asthma. I'm not affected by air quality issues. But man, if you're sensitive to that, I feel bad for you. And you know who I blame. 3:30. We're going to break. In just a minute, Dan Cook will geek out. What is Dan geeking out about? I have no idea. I don't know. But you get your chance. So get ready. We'd love it if you're in the chat room on Facebook or on YouTube. But you also can text in at 651-461-9226. We will gong or green light Dan on whatever nonsense he's obsessed about in just a minute here on CCO.
Start the clock. Dan Cook now has 3 minutes to geek out on something. And you get to text in with a vote on whether it's halfway interesting or if the topic should never again be brought up in public. Again.
Nerd alert!
Let's set things up for this edition of Dan Geeks Out.
All right, here we go. It's been a bit. So I'm excited to have the return of Dan Geeks Out. We're going to do this in person at the State Fair, so you'll really get to appreciate the
full nerd experience.
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you can watch Dan Geek Out on our YouTube channel. Just click on the live icon at WCCO Radio and leave your comment. We need you to either green light Dan or gong.
That's not the gong.
The dang, yeah. Or you do this guy. Oh, this isn't it. What happened?
There it is. I think that's a sign that they should green light me this week.
I guess, yeah.
All right, should we start the timer?
Let's start the clock. 3 minutes. Make sure you text 651-461-9226 or comment in the thread. Dan, begin.
We haven't been visited by aliens, Jason. We have not been visited by aliens. Here's my argument. We've been sending television signals, high power electromagnetic radiation out into the galaxy for about the last 90 years.
Right.
Right. TV is about the late 30s. So about 90 years, just to make it a nice even number, which means that anything that's 90 light years or beyond has not received any of those signals and therefore would not know that we are here if there's a civilization, right? We can see, astronomers can see stars within that 90 million or 90 light year radius fairly well. And we've detected no civilizations, no planets with organic life whatsoever in that radius. So the question then becomes, how in the world would aliens even know we're here? Now, you'll recall one of the previous geek outs, I talked about a planet that's over 100 light years away that our scientists have looked the starlight filtering through the atmosphere of the planet, and they thought that they saw some organic molecules that way. Only then other scientists came along and said, no, that data doesn't really say that. And then the original scientists said, yeah, actually it does. So they're still fighting about it. So there's a possibility that a civilization well out there, which hasn't received any of our signals, sees a planet that has potential for life, but, you know, it's a needle in a haystack. Why would they be sending anybody here? Plus,
do you want to hear more of Dan, whatever it is he's talking about?
Why we haven't been visited by aliens?
651-461-9226. Green light it or gong it. Dan is geeking out on his theory.
You're taking away from my 3 minutes here, Jason.
I'm sorry. Keep going.
Okay. So the other point is, time is, you know, the time is relative. Einstein's relativity theory. Here's the deal. If we were able to build a spacecraft that could travel at the speed of light, or near, even near the speed of light, the fastest thing we've sent out is maybe 1% the speed of light. But let's say we could actually get up towards the speed of light. And let's say we're going to visit our galactic neighbor Andromeda, which is about 2 million light years away. If you're on that ship traveling near the speed of light, you'd actually show up at Andromeda in just a few minutes. Then say you look around and see what else is there, see if there's any other civilizations. Now you get back in the craft, zip back to Earth in what seems like only a few minutes. Only over 4 million years would have passed on Earth in that period of time. Time is relative. So even if another species is way advanced technology, has much better understanding of physics than we do, and somehow is able to travel those interstellar distances, there's still the time relativity factor. We have not been visited by aliens, ladies and gentlemen, because there aren't any near us, and there aren't any that are going to be able to figure out that relativity thing. That's my geek out, and I still got a name on the 3 minutes.
You got a late flurry of green lights. Five green lights on the text line.
Okay.
Oh, here they come.
Uh-oh. No, well, see, you're putting your finger on the scales.
No, gong, bring back three disasters and puppies.
Wow.
I'm a Dan Cook fan, but gong, enough already.
We haven't been visited by aliens. I know people love to think about that. I know there's all the video evidence that people are, you know, see stuff zipping around in the sky and think it's got to be aliens, and they built the pyramids and all this other nonsense. But when you think about the scale of the cosmos, the scale of the universe, it just doesn't make any sense at all.
There are lots of aliens around Minnesota. I see them all the time, says a texter. My counter to your thesis is, have you been to the state fair?
Yeah, for 20 some odd years.
Makes you...
Well, actually, that supports my thesis, because if they ever were to take a peek at us and saw, you know, the state fair as an example, they wouldn't come anywhere near us.
Mm. It was very exciting. You were so energetic in that presentation.
I'm telling you, you
finished up about 30 seconds early.
Well,
maybe that says you don't even care that much about this.
No, I love this stuff. I love this stuff. I love thinking about this stuff. I love thinking about the size and the scope of the universe. It's just, it's mind-boggling. Creation's a beautiful thing. Is there life out there somewhere? Sure, I absolutely believe that. I just don't think I don't know where, how close it is that it's civilized, and I don't believe that it's actually bothered to visit us. I think we make ourselves like central to, this is a human thing. We make ourselves central to the story, right? We're always the center of the plot. So why wouldn't aliens be wanting to come and visit us? Because we're here, right? Except I just don't think, you know, cosmically speaking, we're that important.
51% of American adults think that military reported UFOs are probably / definitely evidence of intelligent life outside of Earth.
We think a lot of things, Jason, that doesn't necessarily make them true.
No, it's whatever we think.
Right.
We poll people.
We see stuff that we don't understand, and then we want to assign something bigger to it. when that doesn't necessarily, it's not proof of anything. The fact that we can't identify what these things are zipping around doesn't mean that they're alien in nature at all. That's just a potential hypothetical possibility. But we haven't been visited.
Dan Cook. That was Dan Geeks Out. Does Jason count as an alien visit? A texter wants to ask.
That's a fair question.
Yeah. I mean,
because even if you admitted that you were alien and were visiting.
Well, what would I say?
Exactly. Why would we believe you?
Management should have pulled the plug as soon as the word alien came out of Dan's mouth. Don't we have like a whole show on
Sunday nights? Yeah.
It's like alien ghost nonsense.
Sure.
I think that's the name of the show. Alien.
I'm pretty sure it's not the name of the show. No.
Do I think aliens have visited us?
Do you?
Well, I'm trying to think about it, like, because...
Are you saying you haven't thought about it prior to now?
No.
Why would you? It's a fascinating subject. I don't understand.
I mean...
Why would you not have given it thought before now?
What if the Canadian wildfire smoke is actually, like, some sort of smoke creature?
Or disguising the alien landing craft?
We don't know.
Actually, we do.
Can't rule it out, Dan. Actually, we could.
Can't rule it out for the Canadian wildfire smoke, or can't rule out aliens? Because I can't 100,000%, to use the president's math, rule out that we've been visited by aliens. Mm-hmm. But I think when you think through it logically, scientifically, it just doesn't make any sense.
I kind of hope we were, though. You know? I think it's more fun that way.
Okay. Do it for the plot?
Do it for the plot, because it does not matter. It doesn't matter whether aliens have come here or not. What's the difference?
Well, yeah, but if we take off of the station all the stuff that doesn't matter.
Wow.
How are we getting through 15 hours a week, Jason?
I have a lot of other things that irritate me that I could bring up.
True. That's true.
Since I think we've learned.
I was going to say, I'm trying to be one of them here in this segment. But.
I know, but the people like it. I find myself questioning, do people like you geeking out about something? There are three possibilities.
Yes.
One, people truly like what it is that you're geeking out about.
Unlikely, but possible.
Two, people really like you, and they like hearing you're crazy.
Also fairly unlikely, but possible.
Or three, they like that it's about a 3-minute break from listening to me. It's one of those three.
Hit the ding.
There it is.
I would introduce a fourth possibility, and this is what I think it is. Whether people like what I'm talking about or not, I think people respond to enthusiasm and passion, and you know, you don't have to like, you know, what somebody else is into. But it's always fascinating when you see somebody who's really into something and they're getting into it and explaining it and geeking out over it.
Just the energy. The energy.
Yeah. It's just a cool vibe. Yeah. And I think people respond to that.
Well.
Or not.
That's the beauty of Green Light or Gong. Dan Geeks Out. Thank you all for playing. We will break in just a minute. A new development in the Coldplay couple. Will this put this story to bed? And do you think tonight at the first Minnesota Twins home game, the Twins should do a bit? Should they do a Coldplay cam bit tonight? We'll talk about that when we come back. All right, so tonight the Twins have their first home game since the Coldplay cam happened. By now, are we sick of this yet? I feel like Cook is maybe a little sick of it. It took over my feed for sure. Are you sick of it? You're not sick.
I love every second of this. I think it's hilarious. I think it's the best thing to hit the internet in decades.
All right.
I love it. And yes, the Twins should absolutely do a bit.
So all over the country, we've seen this, the Coldplay bit. So you guys know the Coldplay story. It's this couple gets caught on camera at the Coldplay concert, And they're just embracing, dancing a little, you know. But they freak out. And because, as it turns out, they were both cheating. Well, at least the CEO was cheating on his wife. Turns out he's a CEO, which makes it more delicious. So the CEO had to quit his job.
Right.
And yesterday, the HR executive also resigned.
Didn't she have some weird title like chief people person or something?
I think so.
Like that? Yeah.
Yes. That's what they call these people now, like
sure.
Head of people.
Sure.
I don't know. Stupid. Everybody needs some sort of stupid.
She's going to need a new
title.
We're
all so special. We're all so special. You got to have your own.
Either way, she's going to need a new title now.
So the Phillies, I think, did this.
They were one of the first.
First.
Yeah. The Fanatic.
And if you're watching on YouTube, you can see the Fanatic sort of dancing. And then they freak out. It's sort of a bit they do at the end of the Kiss Cam. But what some other stadiums have been doing is straight up Coldplay cam. So they just call it the Coldplay cam, and they're playing.
And people know to duck away.
And people know to do the bit.
Yeah, there you go. I love that.
So
see how this is uniting the country, Jason? This has brought us together as a people in a way nothing has in the last 20 years.
So what's the right bit, right? Like if you're the Twins tonight, is it Coldplay cam where everybody knows to do the bit? Is it some sort of skit you put at the end of Kiss Cam?
I mean, you can do all of these in the above, but if it doesn't involve like Minnie and St. Paul in some way, two people dressed up as the old timey baseball characters doing the bit, then I think we've missed an opportunity.
Eric and St. Paul is over it. Enough. The news cycle moves too fast for that still to be a thing. I suspect it's going to be a thing forever. This may be the next Kiss Cam. And I remember doing a story for Channel 4 back when I was the Good Question reporter about the Kiss Cam. And there's very much a formula the Twins behind the scenes people use when they're looking for people to be on the Kiss Cam. And they call it like the On Golden Pond moment, where you try to make sure you have like a couple of young hotties, and then you want to have a couple of oldsters in there too, because that's sweet.
Uh-huh.
I like seeing it. I want to see it on the Golden Bachelor, but I do want to see it at the Twins game.
Does Coldplay get a cut of this stuff? Is there some sort of...
Well, if you're playing their song...
It's the biggest boost to their career in a while.
The person who should really be getting a cut is the gal who put this on TikTok and had it go viral, right?